teaching that one day that every tongue shall confess and every knee shall bow that he, Jesus Christ, is Lord of lords and King of kings. And I praise the Lord. I look forward to that day. I don't know when that day is going to be, but I look forward to that day that we can recognize him and the world will recognize him around the world, that he is really, truly the Prince of Peace, the King of kings today. Let's take our Bibles this morning, and if you will, turn in your Bible to the book of 1 John. If you'll find your place there in the scripture, 1 John, and we're going to read some scripture here in a moment in 1 John chapter 2. I think of the verse found, you know, when you think about the world that we live in, where do you go to find out about love? You know, this is, at the end of the week is what you're celebrating, Valentine's Day, and many of you will celebrate that. Some do, some don't. And, you know, I remember as a child growing up, I attended the Mifflin Elementary School in Mansfield, Ohio. And I remember in elementary school going to school, and when it came around Valentine's Day, we'd all get little Valentine cards and fill those out, and you'd write something on it and give it to your friends, and you put on there, you know, I love you, and or give it to family members, and you know, and that, and so it's interesting when you think back on Valentine's. You know, where do you really learn about love? How do you find out? Well, without God, there is no love. And by the way, the scripture is very clear. God is love. So all that we know about love comes from our Heavenly Father. So I'm going to bring this message today that God is love. And the Bible is very clear in John chapter 3 and verse 16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So through God the Father, he showed us what love is. And what love really is sending his only begotten Son here to this earth to be a sacrifice for you and I, to be an atonement for you and I. How many would be willing to give up their son that can offer him for the promise and the hope of eternal life? God knew what love was really all about and showed that and put that on display for the whole world by giving his only begotten Son. So God is love. And one of the books in the Bible we want to learn more about, if you want to know what love is really all about, you got to go to 1 John. And, you know, it's interesting. When you look at the definition of love, you know, it really means a strong affection or a warm attachment to or to feel a passion, devotion, or a tenderness for or to take pleasure in. So it depends on how you look at love. If you really look at the word love, and you really want to understand it, at least from a biblical standpoint, you need to be able to look at it in the context of the Greek and how the Bible was written. Because there are many different words for love in the Bible, and you can't just use one for everything. And if you take the word storge, S-T-O-R-G-E, in the Greek, it means love, but it means an empathy. Or it means a bond. Love, the word love is used in different formats. You know, oftentimes, I have a lot of friends, you have a lot of friends, and so if you tell your friend that you love them, and that's a philia kind of love, that's P-H-I-L-I-A, it's a bond. It's a friendship that you have in that relationship. And so throughout the scripture, when you're reading the Bible uses the word love on many different occasions, but it uses it in a different context. So you got to be careful how you study the Bible. When you look at it, when you get to the word love and the eros, as E-R-O-S, if you look at it in the Greek, that means a romantic love. So, you know, you wouldn't go up and if you're speaking the Greek, I think the Greek language is a beautiful language. It's a great language. I think it's a very difficult language to learn in a lot of ways, but the Greek language has a lot of depth and has a lot of meaning and has a lot of purpose behind it where you can understand the scriptures and behind that. So an eros love is a romantic love. That is a different kind of love that you would have for your friends. And so, and it's used in that context. Now, another word in the Bible, one you perhaps you're more familiar with, is an agape kind of love. Now, that agape kind of love is a love that God uses in the Bible as an unconditional love. That God loves under any conditions, under any circumstances, no matter what happens, you got to keep in mind God loves you. For God so loved the world. And you know, we live in a world today where what this world really needs more of is love. if you really think about it, and I don't know about you, but I can't recall a greater time than right now where you see a lot of hatred in the world at a lot of different levels. And you see it put on display in the political arena. You see it put on display in families and families' lives. You see, difficulties and trials. What we need more of is God in the world. We need more love in the world and more of that put on display and a genuine, heartfelt love for each other, and to realize who the real enemy really is, love. God is love. So to know him is to know love. Now, I think Satan comes along, and you got to be careful, because Satan goes to and fro, up and down the land, seeking whom he can devour. So what he does, I think he comes and he takes love and distorts it and gives us a different view or a different feeling. Or, I mean, if you interviewed 10 different people, you might get 10 different definitions of what they think love really is. And so Satan is a deceiver. He'll take that, and a lot of what we see in the world today is not really genuine love, but God is genuine love. And so that's what I want to look at today, and we're going to read some verses here in a moment. But, I think a child should never grow up without knowing that their parents love them and tell them that they love them. Not long ago, I had a lady, and she was sharing with me that she grew up in a home, And they never told each other that they loved them. Matter of fact, she said, I grew up in a home where my mother never told me that she loved me. And I thought, my, oh my, how can you do that? How can you give birth to a child, and how can you raise a child, and how can you go through? And children need to go, they're going to get their self-esteem and their self-image. They're going to get their self-worth coming right from the very start from a mother and a father and a grandfather and a mother on what the importance of love. And every child should feel loved. I'll tell you what, if you don't give that to them at home, they'll find it or get it somewhere else. There's this natural desire, this hunger, the desire to be loved. Everybody wants to be loved and appreciated. And so when you think about that, it's important to let your children know. And now my children are older. I have a son that will be 45 this year, another son 43 here in March. My daughter just turned 41. And every conversation, whenever I'm with them or on the phone with them or whatever, I talk to Jeremy, my son down in North Carolina, 2-3 times this week. It's always ending the conversation of, hey, buddy, I love you. I want every conversation in person or on a phone to let them know I love you. And you know what my kids have gotten used to? They will return that reciprocal coming back. Hey, Dad, I love you. Hey, Mom, I love you. And they need to hear that from the woman from birth coming up, and God is love, and that the parents that's difficult maybe for some people. I remember when our kids were growing up and they were teenagers. Every child's a little bit different. And our oldest son, Chad, he was a little bit more reserved, a little bit more quiet, and so it was kind of like, okay, Mom, I know you love me, but you don't have to do that in public. Or Dad, I know you love me, but you don't have to do that at the basketball game. Give me a hug or a kiss on the cheek or whatever. And that now Jeremy, it's interesting because you could go to ball games. Chad, my wife, you could hear her above the whole crowd at any ball game we ever went to. And our kids were involved in all kinds of sports. Used to embarrass the fire out of my oldest son. My other son did much better in sports. The more my wife yelled and screamed and hollered and put it on display and let that love be known, the better he did. It was kind of like you could never give. His love bucket was never full. And our daughter was somewhere in the middle of all that. So every child is a little bit different. But, when you think about it, people should never grow old without telling their parents that they love you. And why this is so important is indelibly written in my mind. I remember when I was growing up as a teenager that one of my father's brothers, my Uncle Doyle, passed away. And Doyle was 39 years old at the time he passed away. He was in the backyard of his house in Mansfield, Ohio. He was starting a moped bike, pulling this thing on the moped, trying to get it started. He had a heart attack and keeled over right there and immediately went into the presence of the Lord. He was a Christian. But you know what was interesting? Before all that happened, I'll never forget that, because just for a few years prior to that, my grandfather passed away. So I'm at my grandfather's funeral, And there's all eight of their kids lined up paying their respects. And my Uncle Doyle, when it came time, fell on the casket and weeping and crying his, now I'm just a little guy, pouring his heart out and just begging God, saying, I never told my father that I loved him. I never told my dad that I loved him. So I sat there and I watched the other brothers, literally had to pick him up and help him and carry him out of the room. And I determined right then and there, as a young boy, I thought, you know what? I will never, if I ever get married and have children or family members, never let a day go by that you don't tell them that you love them and you care for them. You should live life and have no regrets. When you think about it, you know, it's interesting when my father passed away that my mother gave me his Bible. I have his Bible on my study. I every once in a while pull it out and look at it. But when she first gave it to me, there's a little yellow envelope in there. And I pulled that little yellow envelope out, and my son, had oldest son, Chad, had tucked some things in there to give to his grandfather. And so I pulled that out. I still have it to this day. There was a little Valentine card in there from Chad to his grandpa that said, Grandpa, I love you. And I thought, now how cool is that? So I thought, I just hung on to that, and someday I'll hand that and give that to my oldest son as a keepsake along the way. Look in your Bible, if you will, today. We want to look at some things about love in the Bible. And John, 1 John chapter 2, one of the first things, there's four key thoughts that I want you to see today here in the book of 1 John. And how God puts simply some things about love in the Bible that we should pay attention to. First and foremost, what I want you to see here is in 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, verse 16, and verse 17. The first thought is that we ought to love the Father and not the world. He simply says here, love not the world, and neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. So here's point number one today, simply this, is that God commands, instructs, gives us guidance that more than anything else, we should love the Heavenly Father. I think the best thing that you can do for your marriage is to love God more. I think the best thing you can do in all your relationships is to love God more. Put him first above everything else in life. And it simply says here that we ought to love, that we ought not to love the things of the world. Sometimes we can get so crowded out and get so busy through career or recreation or whatever else you want, and it begins to creep in and crowd out that relationship, that love relationship that we're to have for the Lord. So God's instruction to you and I is don't love the world. We're only here for a short time. We're only here passing through. We're only here going to be here for a little while. And don't fall in love with this place. This is not the place to fall in love with. So love not the world, and love not neither the things that are in the world. Everything that we have has just been given to us in stewardship for a short while. Your family has been given to you for a while, so take care of that and let them know that you love them. The job that you have, the career that you have, wherever you make your money from, that has been given to you in stewardship, and that is just here temporarily for a while. And love not the world. Thank God for it, but it's not the most important thing. And so when you look at it here, we're not to love the thing. It says, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So this balance, we're to live in the world, but not to be a part of it. We're not to fall in love with the things of the world and the ways of the world. They are diametrically opposed to that which God is all about and said, for all that we do, all that is in the world. And he narrows it down to three simple things here. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Notice those three things in the Bible. Those are the three same things that caused the fall of man into sin back in the book of Genesis. And so usually what you can narrow down, you can take any person's sin or the problem or the areas of life, and you can trace it back to one of these areas, the pride of life, or the lust of the eyes, or the lust of the flesh. These three things right here are the three root causes of all sin issues. Always. You can paint whatever picture you want on it. I mean, if you take and you go down through the Bible, if you take murder, if you take adultery, if you take stealing, if you take coveting, if you take whatever it is you want to name, or go back to the Ten Commandments, it all starts right here. And he says, for all that is in the world, these three things, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life, is not of God. It's of the world, and the world will pass away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. We're only here for a short while. All these things will soon come to pass, and we even should be praying, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus, and not stay focused. Our focus should be on eternal rewards. Our focus should be focused on loving the Father. Our focus should be upon all these things. Don't get too attached down here. If you really think about it, the only thing that you and I are taking to heaven with us is our families. That's it. If you really think about it, the most important asset you have, the most important thing you have is your spouse, your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren. Invest in them and let them know that you love them and you care for them and they are important to you and the relationships that you have. It's the only thing we're going to take to heaven. The cars are not going to go. The money's not going to go. The houses are not going to go. The career's not going to go. So the most important thing you have is to look around your family and to thank God for it and to realize here that we are not to love the world, but we're to love God the Father and that He is love. So point number one is love the Father. Above everything else, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. And then if you will, look in chapter 3. Here's the second thing that John gives us here, that we are to love in deed and in truth. We are to love in deed and in truth. In chapter 3, here's how John explains this. And by that meaning, I put beside these verses I hear, put your words into action. If you tell somebody you love them, but you never act that out or carry out the deeds or do things that would indicate that, would they really believe that you love them? So you need to carry that out, love in deed and love in truth. And it says here in verse 11, beginning in verse 11 of chapter 3, John writes, and he says, for this is the message that we heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. And then he gives us an example here, an Old Testament example. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, which would be Satan, slew his brother, which would be Abel, and whereof slew he him, because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. Boy, how important is that verse? Did you ever get crossways with somebody? You ever get sideways with somebody where you say, well, I don't love them anymore, I hate them. And I've seen families where hate can crop up. If you harbor and hold hate in your heart, the Bible is very clear here, then really it says here, whosoever hateth his brother or is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him. We ought not to have any room for hate in our heart for anybody, anywhere. And I don't know about you, but I look and I see what's on display oftentimes in the political area that's going on today, and there's some real true hatred on display in our world. Every once in a while, you find that on display in families, and ought not to be so. If we love God, if we say we're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, if we really love Him, then we'll love the brethren, we'll love those around us. In verse 16, he went on to say, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? And in verse 17, how important that is to realize that if we can be a blessing to someone else, by all means we should do that, because sometimes the only Bible somebody else will see is what they see in you. Sometimes the only God they're going to see is God, seeing God through you and through your deeds and through the truths and how you live your life. And John said this in verse 18, my little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, now here it is, but in deed and in truth. So to say it is one thing, to do it is another. To carry it out in action is most important, but in deed and in truth. And hereby, in verse 19, we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before Him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. And this is His commandment in verse 23, that we should believe in the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as He gave us commandment. And he that keepeth His commandments dwelleth in Him, and He in Him. And hereby we know that He abideth in us by the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit, which He hath given unto us. That is God's desire today, my friend, that you and I come to a saving knowledge in verse 23, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ. So let me ask you today, have you believed? Do you trust? Do you have confidence in? Who is your belief system today in? He says here, you ought to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and to realize that Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, paid His sin debt. No greater love than this than the Father had for us here than He gave His only begotten Son to die in our place and in our stead, that we could have forgiveness of our sin. And then, as a result of that experience that we have in Christ, we are to love one another. I'll tell you what, I think we need to be careful, because sometimes in the world that we live in, if you let hatred get in there, if you let Satan get in there, or you let the flesh get in there, people can put on display mean and hateful and ugly things. That is not of God. That is not of the Lord. God is love. And through that relationship that we can have in Christ, yes, we have the ability to love all men of all walks of faith, of all walks of and life, and there should be no hatred in our heart. And he that keepeth His commandment and dwelleth in Him, and He in Him, and hereby we know that He abideth in us, and by the Spirit in which He hath given us. So the Holy Spirit can come into our heart, and He can change us and make us that new creation in Christ. When you get saved, you're a new creation in Christ. He can change you internally from the inside out and make you to be somebody that you were not before. The old man passeth away, and behold, the new man is being formed and being created in Christ Jesus. You know, it's interesting. So we are to love in deed and in truth, and to realize here that, number one, we're to love the Father more than anything else. And then we're to love in deed and truth, take it and put it into action this week. So I'd encourage you this week, look around this week. Who can you go to, and who can you express that to, and who can you share that with this week? I'm going to let somebody know. I'm going to talk to whoever today this week, or I'm going to put some action or some deed into place to let them know that I love them and I really care for them. Love. God simply says we're to love the Father. And then, secondly, we're to love in deed and in truth. And look in chapter 4. John went on to put a little bit more emphasis on this in chapter 4, by that meaning that we are to love one another. Look in chapter 4, verse 7. You get down to verse 7, he says, Beloved, written to Christians, he says, Let us love one another, for love is of God. Love is not of Satan. Love is of God. Love is not of the world. It is of God. Everyone that loveth, the Bible says, is born of God and knoweth God. In verse 8, he that loveth not knoweth not God. Wow, that is powerful when you think about that. For God is love. If you're struggling with this thing about love, if you're struggling with this about expressing that and sharing that, I would go back and get down and question, are you really saved? Do you genuinely know the Lord Jesus Christ? Because if you do, He'll change you and allow your heart to be able to share that love with others. God is love. He says in verse 9, In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. And herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. My, I love that in verse 10. That when you think about that, that herein is love. God loved us before we loved Him. He made the move toward us in salvation. The Holy Spirit today will convict you of your sin and show you the need for the Savior. And it's the God the Father that comes and makes that known unto us and draws us through the Holy Spirit of God to Him. So He says, here He hath loved us and sent His Son. You know what that word propitiation sounds like? A big word, but it really means to be our substitute. That Jesus Christ came, died in your place, gave His life so that you would not have to pay for your own sin debt. My, what what a bargain is that? I mean, I can't imagine somebody sitting and listening to the gospel that God loves you, that God was willing to give his life for you, and God was willing to send his only begotten son for you, and to die on the cross of Calvary, is all you got to do is believe, and confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. And to turn down that offer, to turn down that free gift and walk away from it. God is love. There is, I've had people say to me, "Preacher, you don't know where I've been or what I've done. You don't know how bad I really am." I don't need to know. I don't want to know. God knows, because I don't care what you've done, where you've been. God has seen it all, knows it all, and he is willing to forgive anybody of anything, of any walk of life. I don't care what the background, I don't care what the sin, I don't care what the thought processes are. God is love. And he loves you so much, he's willing to give his life. And so he's willing to save even the most wicked, vile, corrupt sinner on the earth, whoever that might be. God simply is love. And then he commands you and I that we are to love one another. And so when you look here in this verse, look in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, then we ought to love one another. We say we love God. If we really love God, then we ought to love one another. And no man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby we know that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us his Spirit. Verse 14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love of God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment, and he that feareth is not made in perfect love. We love him, verse 19, because he first loved us. And if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, here he comes back to this again. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who beloveth God loveth his brother also. You know what we all ought to do? We should do an inventory check. Check the inventory of all the relationships you have. There's somebody out there that you don't have exactly the best relationship with, and there's allowed to creep into the heart a little bit of hatred or wrong feelings with her. I'd go to them and apologize and say, friend, forgive me. I'm wrong. And to be able to show the love of God to that person, no matter what they've said, no matter what they've done, you say, preacher, you don't know. And I said, well, I don't know. I don't need to know. I just know what God's word says, that we ought to be able to forgive. And if the love of Christ can forgive us, and God can forgive us and heal us in our heart, and this is the commandment, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So point number one simply is today that we ought to love the Father more than anything else. Love God and not love the world, not love the ways of the world, not love the ways of the flesh, the ways of the eyes, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. And then secondly, we need to love in deed and truth. In other words, simply putting actions to that and to let people know that you really do care. And then we ought to love one another. And then, if you will, look in chapter 5. He kind of wraps this up here in 1 John, talking about that we ought to, number 4, is to love God and then keep his commandments. Notice this now in verse 1. John writes, he said, whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. But this we know, that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. I love that in verse 3. So point number 4 simply of the message today is that we ought to love God and keep his commandments. And it really is not difficult if you'll just follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit and surrender to him and walk with him. Do we make mistakes? Absolutely, we all do. Is life perfect after being saved? No, it's not. You know, when we get saved and we come to know Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, the soul and the spirit, the Holy Spirit comes in and changes us, conforms us. We're made a new creation in Christ Jesus, and the soul and the spirit get saved. Guess what does not get saved? When we get saved, is the body, the flesh. So we're still left here in this fleshly body. Does it every once in a while still sin or make wrong thoughts or make wrong choices? Yeah, we still struggle with the pride of life and the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh. So not until we take this body and lay it in the grave and bury that body and then wait on the resurrection day, when the resurrection takes place and the body is reunited with the soul and the spirit, then we have a perfect body. Then we have a body that's no longer a natural body but a spiritual body. Then we have a body that is fashioned like unto the glorious body of the Lord Jesus Christ. By that meaning, it's not possible to sin at that point. Until then, we still live in this flesh. So he says here, love God and keep the commandments. And whatsoever in verse 4 of 1 John 5 is born of God overcometh the world. So you do have the ability to overcome that which is in the world. That through Christ we can do all things. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. That interesting word of faith. Faith, the Bible is really clearly defined as Romans chapter 10 and verse 7, that faith is our growing in Christ, is our faith and commitment to Him and our relationship to Him. And so we see here, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We find in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, that verse simply says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by that word of God. And so we grow in Christ. Your faith is going to be dependent upon what time you spend in the word of God, what you hear, what you study, what you learn, what you memorize, what and your faith. And it's going to be tied to the word of God. Some have a weak faith. Some have a strong faith. Some, their faith can carry them through very difficult, challenging times because they're grounded in the Word of God. And so he says here, he uses that word faith, but who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There is no obstacle too difficult that you cannot get through. There is no challenge too hard you cannot get through. It's all tied to your faith. Your faith in Him. But whosoever he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is Jesus Christ, in verse 7, and the Holy Ghost, the third person of the Trinity. These three, the Bible says here, are one. You want a good verse on the Trinity? Right there it is. You want a good verse on there is only one God, three persons. You got the Father, you got the Word, which John chapter 1 makes clear the Word is Jesus Christ, and you got the Holy Spirit. They are one. We have one God, three persons in the Godhead, three distinct functions in the Godhead. There are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. So today, the life that you and I have today is in Jesus Christ. And to realize today, the most important thing is to realize that God, 1 John makes it very clear, God is love. And if we're to love God the Father, we're then to put that on display to all the brethren. And that starts right with our own family, with our own friends, with our own relatives, with our own neighbors. And to hold hatred or harbor something in your heart against another brother or sister, God says, how can you say you love God and then harbor that in your heart? You don't love God. If you really love God, you'll go and deal with whatever that is and take care of that. And so it's interesting here. Let me show you this verse and we'll close today in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Probably one of the greatest verses in all the Bible, I think. When you look at Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 6, and you're going through the scripture because it lays out the plan of salvation, I think one of the turning points here in the Bible simply is to understand Romans 6:23 that talks about the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He offers that gift to you and I if we've never received that gift. But here's the turning point in Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us. God is offering that love to you and I, His love. He is love, and He offers that to you and I. And you say, well, you don't know how hard it is to change. No, you can change. No matter where you've been, what you're going through, you can change whatever you want to change. Just love God more and stay in the Bible more and let the Holy Spirit shape you and mold you and make you to be what He wants you to be. God is love, and this world needs more love in it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, today we love You. God, we thank You for Your word today that teaches us what biblical truth is all about. And God, today we understand from the Scripture that You are love and that You commendeth Your love toward all of us today, God. And if there's one here that has not yet received that gift of love that You are so generously offering, God, today that they would open their heart and trust Jesus Christ and believe and accept and receive that love that You gave through offering Your only begotten Son on the cross of Calvary. So, God, I pray today that You would just convict of sin and, Father, make us vessels that are changed and shaped by the Holy Spirit of God to be the example that You want us to be. And to be the love in this world that shines bright in our own families, with our own neighbors, with friends, with work associates. And by loving others, they will see Christ in us, the hope of glory. They will see You, God, in us. And the message hopefully can get out that, God, You are all about love and drawing all men to the Lord Jesus. In His name I pray. Let's stand together, if you will, today. We give a verse of invitation. Brother Ron's going to lead us today. If you're here and you're not sure that you're saved, you've never accepted this gift of salvation, would you do that today? Would you accept that gift? You say, well, how do I do that? So all you got to do is just come and let us take a Bible and show you and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come in your heart. God is offering you a gift, and that gift is salvation. God is offering you His love. As all you got to do is take it, my friend. You got to reach out and you got to accept that. And if you'll do that, He'll give you eternal life. Now, how about you today that are praying about it? Is there a relationship in your life that's maybe just not where it needs to be? Not quite what it needs to be? Are you willing to forgive that person? Are you willing to show them the love of Christ? Make that a matter of prayer. And then, like John says, follow it up with your deeds and with your actions. As Brother Ron leads today, verse of invitation, if we can be of help to you, you come as we pray today.
The greatest thing in all my life is loving You. The greatest thing in all my life is loving You. I want to know You more.
people said? Amen. Be seated just for a moment, if you would. And again, we appreciate you being here with us today. Would ask that you just pray going forward and reach out to others around you and let them see God in you and His love and expression in that and being an encouragement to your family and to those you're connected with. Just a few announcements. The teenagers have Winter Jam coming up. And that an activity that's going to be get my glass on is either February the 23rd. So pray for that if you have a teenager. The cost is $15 per person. See Brother Pastor Adam and that also if you're they're going to be attending, they want to bring extra money for lunch, right? On that. So if you have any questions, see Brother Adam and Haley. The Golden Agers this Friday night have a Valentine's banquet. So that is 6 o'clock, and I think you can still. Can they still get in on that? Okay. So it's not too late, but you got to do it today, I think. And go by the Welcome Center. There's a sign-up sheet out there. They're going to be, I think, at Mr. Mike's or Mike's Restaurant over in Wayne, Westland. Maybe that's Westland on Wayne Road. And the cost, I thought it was $18. Is that right? Right. So $18 per person. And they'll have a time of fellowship and a meal and a devotion, I'm sure. And so if you want to plug into that, that would be great. That's this Friday night. This evening in the 6 o'clock service, we'll have the Lord's Supper this evening at 6 o'clock. I want to encourage you to be back for that. Also, the Courageous class, Brother Tacy, they have an activity coming up February the 15th. That's this week at 7 o'clock. They'll be watching a movie called The Overcomer. That's going to be in the youth room. So if you're part of that class, that would be great and be a part of that. Hey, Cindy, before you leave, why don't you stop right there? Dick Hook, I don't know, is he getting? Are you able to stand or no? He's getting ready. Dick is back here in church for the first time and for a little while. Give him a hand back here. Yeah. So I know that was Dick. We're glad to see you here today, brother, and praying for you. And Cindy's in from St. Louis, and so good to have family here. So we're praying for him. He's making progress and day by day, so praise the Lord for that. I see him getting ready to get him up there. So just pray for Dick and his continued recovery there, if you would. On the 23rd of this month, the Constitution bylaws requires we have our business meeting. It's always the fourth Sunday of February every year, so that'll be on February the 23rd in the evening service. They have a ladies' craft weekend coming up on February the 20th through the 22nd. If you have any questions, I'm sure just ask one of the ladies, Rosalind, and if you have any questions regarding that. So there's a lot going on and that. So this week, I'm going to dismiss the service a little bit different today, if you would. We're not going to close in prayer. I'm going to ask you to, now, if this blows your way and you're not ready to do it, and you're a little out of your comfort zone, that's all right. We should all get out of our comfort zone. But turn to somebody and just let them know you love them and you're dismissed.